edition of Simply Scripts Radio. This is a Valentine's Day edition. And Valentine's Day is pretty much the most depressing day of the year. So I think I'm just going to do the whole show this way. I hope you guys don't mind. You know, it'll probably be a little bit of a longer show. But this is how I feel, even though I'm married and have two kids. But that's an entirely different reason to be depressed.
Pass this all off.
But anyway, how are you doing? It is 2 weeks have passed since the last time we've done this show, and we've got a pretty good one lined up for you, I think, this time around. We have a couple new guests with us this time around. We have Cindy Keller, who I'm sure a lot of you know from the boards already. Say hello, Cindy.
Hello.
Hi, Cindy. And we have Mr. Controversial himself, Dreamscale.
Oh!
And he's howling like the 80s rocker that he is. Rock on with you, bad
stuff. Hey, you guys. Great to be here.
We got two other standbys in with us. We have Pia and Michael Cornetto.
Hey there.
The standbys.
And we have a guest with us who I'm sure nobody from the boards is familiar with because he's not a member. We're doing something entirely different here, and we're actually going to plug some work outside of the realm of the board. He's got a new movie out now that's making the festival rounds. It's called Swing It, and his name is Keto Washington. How you doing, Keto?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Glad to be here.
Great. Now, you said your film is making the festival rounds now. Have you gotten accepted officially into anything, or are you still in that process?
No, I'm using Without a Box right now to kind of whittle it down, because the problem is more and more festivals are asking it to be a premiere. So it's a real dangerous game to play where you could just throw your film out there before and just get as many festivals as possible. Mm-hmm. Now, if you get screened, even if you don't win, if you get screened, it eliminates you from like 60% of the festivals.
Yeah, because that's like Sundance and some of the big ones. I've heard they do that too. Is that even common with the smaller ones now?
Yeah, they really want to have premieres because that's the way to draw people in. And they don't want to have anything that's already been around that people will say, oh, I've already seen this one, and, you know, get bad or negative publicity.
Okay, yeah. I mean, now do you think that's something that's related to just the sheer number of submissions that they're getting? You know, they can be more selective and actually drive that deep into it and, you know, say, oh yeah, well, this has to be a premiere. And I mean, because I would think, you know, Sundance and stuff like that, they're really dealing, I mean, they do a lot of independent stuff, but I know they from what I've seen, are starting to do even some bigger films. And, you know, Icon is the same way. You know, they had Inglourious Basterds and all that stuff last year. But I guess, you know, my essential question is, I mean, do you think the number of submissions is what is driving their hardline requirements for premieres?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think it's becoming more and more a money game. It costs nothing to put on a festival. It costs absolutely nothing. All you need is a screen, a projector, and a room. You can do it anywhere. Charge people 25, 35, 45 bucks, and people will be clamoring to get in just so they can say they won something somewhere. But if that festival isn't of note, in other words, if no distributors go to it, you've just wasted all your time, effort, and money.
Oh, sure. Now, you're located in Australia.
Yeah, Darwin, Australia.
Okay. Are you looking into more festivals that way? Are you looking to come into the States or, you know, other international places? I guess would be international for you.
yeah, actually, I'm heading through Asia. The reason being is that my film basically, for lack of better things, has a generic cast. It's pretty much the cast of Gossip Girl, if you would.
Okay.
It's not going to make a splash anywhere in Australia, the UK, or America. However, in Asia, it's unique, and they really like Australian films a lot. So that's where I'm heading to for my festivals. That's what I'm looking for, because they have really massive festivals, and if you get distributorship there, they just go everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Keto, is this a feature or a short?
It's a 70-minute full-length film. It's okay, in that gray area between a short film, which is under 40 minutes, and a full-length one. And the reason I went for 70 minutes is that a lot of independent films fail because they try to pack in that extra 20 minutes, and there's no reason for it.
Exactly.
The only reason they want 90 minutes is theaters want 90 minutes so that they can fill seats. But in actuality, 70 minutes is perfect. You sit down, you watch it, it's over before you know it, but it's long enough that you can really tell a good story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one of those, you know, Netflix players in my house where I can watch, you know, instantly stuff just stream directly to my television. And there is just a ton of stuff on there that, you know, was independently produced or whatever. I mean, there, you have stuff that was, you know, independently produced for, you know, $1 million, and there's stuff that looked like it was shot for $50. And right. It's on there, and there's a bunch of movies that are, you know, they're 75 minutes, you know, 80 minutes. You're in that range. I mean, even shorter. But I do, I think, you know, you can get a lot done in 75 minutes. I would definitely agree with that, in that regard. And, I mean, the theater thing can, and kind of throw you for a loop, and it can cause you to kind of inflate what you're looking to do and expand things. And, you know, that's, I think, from a writing standpoint. Did you write the film yourself too?
Yep, wrote it myself. It's loosely based on Come In Spinner, which was an Australian novel written about what happened when in World War II, when all the Australian soldiers went overseas and the American soldiers came over to Australia. And all that, it's loosely based on that idea, very loose. Like, if you saw the film and knew the book, you wouldn't make an instant connection. But it was from that I realized that swing was really big in Australia during the 40s, mm-hmm. and it's not even talked about because it's still seen as an American thing. Even though swing is really big now as well. I mean, it's just an amazing, movement that's happening, and it's still, no, that's very American, it's very American. Which is why I didn't get government funding. They said that they'll only fund films that are Australian, with quotes around it. And even though my film was shot in Australia, had all Australian actors, and had Australian bands doing the music about Australian stories, they said because it was about swing, it didn't classify as an Australian film.
Kito, what kind of budget did you have?
It started off, all I wanted to do was a real low budget 10 yep. grand feature, and it's blossomed now to about 60 grand all up.
Right.
But even then that's peanuts, and it's over a 4-year period. So it's not like I had to shell out, you know, that much money.
Right.
Yep. Had a lot of friends helping with me, a lot of people doing stuff. I did something controversial, in that I paid my actors. A lot of people say, oh, I don't pay actors. You don't pay actors. But you know what? If they're professional, they're just like any other professionals, and they got bills to pay. Mm. And I'd rather have them for 10 days and know I have them for those 10 days and not have them worried about their rent, their mortgage, their kids' school, whatever. I got to leave to go to work. I'd rather say, look, I'm just going to pay you for this time over what you're worth because I need you 8 hours available every day for 10 days.
Now, did you, from what you just said, it sounded like you financed the entire film yourself?
Yeah, I had some private financing. People donated money, which is really cool. You know, 50 here, 100 here, 200 here. But the rest of it was...
$50,000?
I wish it was $50,000. I'd be in Vegas making a documentary on how not to go to Vegas.
Well, I could use some good gambling tips, that's for sure.
Always bet on the black. It basically, because I do a lot of event videography up here, HD shooting. So I just basically just saved my money and just really busted butt, you know, and charged like a wounded rhino and made the money. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, all the heroes I have in filmmaking did the same thing, you know. And then there's this new idea of wait to get a grant, wait to get funding. I mean, Michael will tell you, there were, I think, 700 entries in the original Project Greenlight in 2005, and 700 scripts that made it through the competition level. And out of that, only two people made their full-length film, the guy who won and me. He got $1 million. I didn't mind on a couple thousand. And because everybody wants to hold their hand out and wait for funding. But if you do that, you're never going to get funding because they say, what have you done? And if you say, well, nothing, they're going to look at you and give it to the guy who says, hey, I've made three films and they've all made a profit.
I hear you, buddy.
Now, this is, I checked out your IMDb page earlier. Is this the fourth film that you've worked on?
This is the fourth film that I've worked on, yeah.
Okay.
Full-length film I worked on.
Okay, yeah, because I did see one where you were on there as the writer, director. Was it Blues Briefcase?
Yeah, that was a short film. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was trying to pull things out because you're like, hey, this is going to be our guest today. I'm like, okay, I don't know this guy, so what am I? So you know, tried to pull as much info as I could. You know, just to you know try to be able to talk, and you know, I still feel like I'm babbling a little bit here, but you know, oh well.
It's a conversation. It's all good.
Yeah. Have you done any? Well, you have because I saw that. I think. I mean, you've done the directing, you've done the producing, you've done the writing, acting as well. I mean, is that your
acting? I pull back on. Okay. I mean, I'll do a quick standard or something. But if you try to juggle everything, you're gonna fall over. And these people that say like Ridley Scott and you know they say directed and shot by Ridley Scott. That's complete BS. He has someone else there. He has a camera crew, and they're doing the. He may be standing at the camera looking through and going, "Yeah, that's right." But he's not, you can't do both because camera work is a physical thing. You're looking at light, you're looking at focus, you're looking at all this physical stuff, whereas directing is emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Are you filming that too?
Pardon me?
Are you filming too, Keto, or you have somebody else?
No,
filming?
No. I had somebody down there with me doing the filming. I just did the look through the camera thing.
Okay,
and said,
gotcha.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah, I would think the directed and shot by thing is just, you know, contractual bullshit that he puts in there up front before he even starts working on it. I mean, you know, when you boil it down to what it actually is, yeah, he's got a DP that's set stuff up for him and everything else. It's I don't buy into that at all.
It's kind of like with Robert Rodriguez and his, you know, Rebel Without a Crew. It's like, at the end of the day, since El Mariachi, he hasn't ever made a film on his own. Mm-hmm. You know,
but you gotta love the guy though.
You gotta love him, but he has a crew and he makes, you know, he makes his films and he has a good time. And that's why I tell people, get a crew, get other people around you because that energy will translate on screen.
Definitely, definitely.
Well now, when you, you're producing, writing, directing, are those things that you want to consistently do on your own? I mean, maybe not so much producing and, you know, maybe trying to find money and stuff like that because, you know, that's just a colossal pain in the ass, at least from my experience with it. But the writing and directing, do you like having those two linked together to be able to have, you know, control over what you're putting on the page and then eventually putting on screen?
Honestly, no. I'd rather let someone else write. I'm on a couple different forums for writing.
Oh, really? Because I have a really good website that you can go to. It's mikeshelton.webs.com.
Nice job, Mike.
Insert plug
but I digress.
Here.
Okay, anyway.
The problem with making low-budget films, and 50 grand is extremely low-budget. The problem with making these films is that people have to know how to write for low budget. And as soon as somebody says, it starts with a pan across the desert and then we zoom into the car. Whoa.
Which explodes. With hilarious results.
It starts with an aerial dogfight.
So, you know, hopefully anybody who listened to the last episode and listened this far will get the hilarious results joke and give me feedback on it. All right. But you say 50, 60,000 isn't a lot of money, which I guess, you know, in the film world, it's not. But, I mean, I've dealt with people, and I've written scripts that were filmed for, you know, 10% or even less than 10% of that. It's just like, you know, what you can do if you really sit down, at least from a writing standpoint, and say, you know, okay, this is what we have, this is what we're working with, and, you know, this is how much we can spend. You'd be surprised what you can come out with.
But no one's making any money, though, Mike, right?
Well,
it all works for free, basically.
Well, I mean, you're working for free up front, but, you know, if you get that project into the right hands, your money that is invested is made back almost instantly and probably then some.
Sure.
Right.
That's a tough call, though.
I mean, you got 7,000 films made every year, full-length films that are out on the market, and only 10% get into theaters, 40% go to DVD, some go to cable, and the rest are just shelved. So,
sure.
Oh, yeah.
And the DVD films they have a $2-3 million budget sometimes, even
right,
more.
But, you know, yeah. I honestly think that, you know, the way that everything's going digital now, you know, I mentioned it earlier with this, you know, Netflix Watch Instantly feature and, you know, other people putting websites up for films that they produce to say, okay, yeah, you can download this movie for a dollar. I mean, there's money to be made if you go about it the right way. If you're looking through all that conventional old school stuff where, you know, you're going to get a big distributor and you're going to get your movie in a video store or, you know, in the theater, you know, you may be setting yourself up for some heartbreak. But if you go for the newer technology, you can make some cash.
It all depends on what you want out of it. I mean, when I made this one, like I said, I started at 15 and 10 to 15. I just wanted to do that and go. And then I realized that you have costs associated. Like I had to fly to Melbourne and I had to fly a couple other people in really wanted to work on the film because they were that good. And they had passion. And that's what I really need when I'm making a film. And so you're right. If you can do it on the low end, which is fine, and if you do it on low end, you make a ton of profit off the top of it, off anyone buying it. But I guess opportunity-wise, my biggest issue was that I had limited amount of time because I had to fly to Melbourne. I had roughly 11 days down there, and I had to get it done. I didn't have the leisure thing of saying, well, if we don't finish it this weekend, we can shoot it next weekend. I couldn't do that. I needed it done in 10 days. So basically, I just subcontracted everybody and said, let's do it, and went from there. And it turned out really good. I'm really proud of it. Everyone that's seen it says, Kito, this is a really good film. But then you go to like film festivals, and it's like every other film, if not every film, has somebody you've either seen on TV or seen in a movie, or some. And you realize you're competing against, you know, budgets of films that have 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, and they're like, oh, this is an independent low budget film we made on the weekend.
That's even true of like Tropefest, which is one of the short film festivals here. And it used to be that you could go and enter Tropefest and have an actual chance at winning with like a your own homemade film. But nowadays it's like you get these for shorts, like 7 minute shorts, you get budgets of like, you know, 50,000, which Kito said he used to do a whole 70-minute film. And so like it's just really hard to compete unless you have the budget. I can totally agree.
Can I say something here?
Mm-hmm.
I am by no means an expert or anything at all. I do not even have really any experience or anything. But one thing I have learned lately from my own little stuff that I'm doing, and that is that when it comes to distribution and things like that, it's not so much the story or, excuse me, how the film was made or whatever the actor, well, the actors too, but, the broadcast networks and cable too, they will not show stuff that does not have the production value that they are looking for. If it looks like low budget stuff, they just will not show it. And
I don't agree, but I don't. Go ahead.
Well, okay.
There's some horrible movies on Cinemax and all the movie channels that are just shockingly low budget.
Have you ever watched Erotic Survivor? Erotic Survivor.
I haven't seen that one yet. No.
Oh, you're missing out, my friend.
I love horrible movies.
Well, anyway, our distributor has told us that they will absolutely get our documentary miniseries on the air unless the quality, the production value is not there. Okay, and when they talk of production value, they're not talking about $5,000 little indie things. Okay.
Of course not.
Yeah. So I mean,
well, when you went to this distributor, did they speak to you in terms of budget or anything else like that?
No, fortunately, one of my partners already had a documentary that we could show them, which is already in their hands. And they said, if you can do this documentary series in the same quality that documentary was, then they signed a letter of intent that they would take us on and distribute us internationally and domestically. But absolutely, it will not be on television. if the production value is not there. You cannot make a $50,000 movie and it's expected to show on television unless it's like 4 a.m. on some obscure satellite channel.
Well, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said 5 minutes ago. I said you may not.
Okay,
get that
then
stuff.
I go back into my little corner and just.
No, I mean I'm not. I'm just saying that I agree with you. I mean that's exactly what I said. I mean if you do something low budget, you are most likely not going to get it on television or in a theater or even on home video, at least in a video store. Capacity on DVD, but if you go that alternate route and you test the technology and maybe do some kind of consignment deal with Netflix or something like that, you can get it out there and you can make money.
Yeah, well, we have our distributor is working to, and this is amazing actually because we haven't even we don't even have one episode done yet. Okay, but our distributor believe in our project and. Enough that they're trying to push it into certain markets, and we're trying to sell our documentary miniseries as a boxed set too, and they're trying to get it into Walmart and Target, and both of those will not accept anything unless they believe they can sell at least 250,000 copies. Okay.
Wow.
So and
that's
imagine
about 8 per store.
I imagine it would be similar to Blockbuster or Netflix or whatever. But I used to think too that you can shoot the $5,000 movie. We all do hear these stories about like for example, Paranormal Activity was shot for $14,000 and now it made over $100 million and things like that. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Same thing with Blair Witch. Yeah, once in a decade something comes.
Yes, you're right.
But I think that a lot in those cases that they don't really include the advertising expenditures for those.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. That's why, like Blair Witch, they had to raise a bunch of money for post production and make it so they could be shown at the theaters and stuff like that.
And
every
marketing.
Single person that invested in it, that invested $5,000, they got $900,000 return on their $5,000 investment. So it was not made only for peanuts, and that was it. It is an extreme cost to make it. Turn it into something that can actually be shown on the big theaters. It's not like you just take your camera and go film something and if it's good enough, it's going to be shown everywhere.
And it's not even that. I mean, it's even going a step further, post-production plus marketing. I think it was 20-something million dollars or whatever they spent to market that movie. And
which one, Blair Witch?
Yeah. And one of the first...
But Ashley, as far as I know... The marketing was very low key at first. It was all on the internet.
It was expensive.
Their website, they got hits nonstop, and then they started to go from there.
Right, but the TV and all that stuff. When it was all said and done, I mean, they spent $20 million dollars.
Yeah, you do advertisements, of course. Yeah,
right.
Million on a 14. Whatever $1,000 production, I mean, they made. It's one of the biggest things of all time.
Yeah, but it didn't. I mean, it might have cost that to initially do it, but when it was all said and done, you're looking at probably $40 million that it costs to actually get that movie in the theater and for people to really start go seeing it. And I don't know what the deal was with Paranormal Activity. I know it cost $15,000 to make. I don't know what they paid to market. I know that marketing was pretty grassroots. For the most part.
Yeah, they had an online campaign where they had, that film showed on the festivals and stuff like that, and it was highly competitive on the festival circuit. And then they, on their website, they set up a thing where people could vote or sign up, and if they got 1 million votes or 1 million people signing up, then they had a deal with the distributor. Their distributor would take them on and distribute the movie. And they managed to do that. And within weeks, they had made over $100 million. And I think it cost $14,000 to make.
That's what I was saying, right. But what I want to say is, if I'm wrong, you guys tell me, it was long before the movie came out that the marketing made it what it was going to be. Is that right or
well,
not?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the marketing, what I'm saying is that the marketing was done by them,
it was
the
amazing.
People that made the film.
Sure.
It was not a marketing company. It was not a
right.
big campaign.
We were going back and forth here.
It was cheap. It was nothing to
are you,
no cost.
Are we still talking about Paranormal Activity?
No, yeah. We're talking about Blair Witch, I thought.
Oh, I was talking about
yeah. See, this is, we're all over the place. No, I don't.
Okay,
think,
well,
I think
okay. The way it works is that Pia's talking about Paranormal Activity. Jeff is talking about
Pia.
Blair Witch, and Mike is talking about who knows what.
I'm talking about purple shit.
I'm sorry, Pia.
Yeah, no.
I'm talking about Blair Witch.
That's what I was trying to figure out. I mean,
they made that for nothing, stuff, but, and they made a marketing website that people started to click onto and glam onto, and it was shocking the way it took off. It cost nothing for that website.
Well, let's ask Kito, and that obviously
cannot be
right here.
How do you market your film? How do you go about doing that?
Stop! Let me just say
Let's go. Let
Kito answer. Hold on.
Hello.
Everybody's talking over everybody. The show is ruined.
When Blair Witch came out, the internet was not really like it is today. Okay,
no,
so there was no internet campaign or anything for Blair Witch.
What do you mean the internet was not like what it was today? Of course,
I had dial-up. It was like, oh, I want to. Yeah. No, I had dial-up. It was, I want to check out this Blair Witch movie. So like, beep, beep.
But anyway, Kito.
Wait. It was real.
Hang on a second, guys.
Real.
Guys and girls, hang on 1 second, Kito.
I missed one.
Wait, Pia. Hang on.
Oh, Cindy's here.
What are we fucking talking about now? Are we still in the interview process? What?
Yeah.
How do you market
this is
your
great.
Film?
This is really great.
How do you market your film?
Who are you talking to?
Kito.
Okay, so in marketing my film, because my film is a genre film, it's a sports genre film, the worst thing I can do is market it to people that actually swing dance because they'll look at it and go and judge it on the swing dance scene, not caring about the film. So what my marketing is all about is a romantic comedy that you can take someone to and you'll walk out and go, I really want to be able to do that. Whereas, so people that enjoy dancing, enjoy swing dancing, but aren't professional will say, this is really good. So I'm really pushing the romance angle and I'm marketing it by pumping out teasers, trailers, coordinating with all the swing dancing groups around the planet that I can. And then we're going to be traveling around the planet later this year, and I'll be taking my film with me, and I'll be showing it to the like beginner classes and things like that, as opposed to trying to, you know, get a full page ad in Variety, which will never work.
I got a question. You said that it's a sports genre film.
Thank you, Mike. I was going to say the same thing.
Is it really? Is swing dancing considered a sport?
No.
Well, wait. It's a genre film.
Well, I'm not gonna question.
I'm not arguing, but is dancing a sport?
Actually,
I don't think so.
You guys are taking it up on a tangent. I'm not saying dancing is a sport. It's an extremely exhausting sport, and it's probably the most moving sport outside of ice hockey for the what you have to move in a shorter period of time. However, what I'm saying is that. As a sports genre film, the onus is let's watch these people get better at their sport, like your football, like The Replacements, like 9 Men Out, like Mystery Alaska. It's all about taking someone who's not good at the sport, and through the film, you watch them get better and better and better at it. So that's how it's a sports genre film, and it's not a dramatic film. It's not a comedy film. You could take swing dancing out and put any sport in there, and the movie will still go.
I read the script, and I actually agree with what Kito's saying, that it is definitely a sports film.
Okay, no, I mean, I've heard of ballroom dancing being called a sport, and I heard him say that, so I was, you know, wondering. I figured I'd ask the question. You know, hey, it's my job to ask questions. You know,
no, that's okay. It's the way I wrote it was – I looked at a lot of dancing movies, and it took me 4 times to get through Dirty Dancing because I just couldn't deal with it at all. I just thought it was so hokey. But then you realize all those sports films, you only write a 40-minute film. The other 30 minutes is, let's watch them do whatever the sport is.
And you know, thought, you're well, right about that. Definitely,
nobody
you're right.
Puts baby brilliant. In a corner.
You're right about that. You're right about
and
that.
I have to go back and correct you as a Chicago resident and, you know, White Sox fan. It's 8 men out, not 9 men out.
Oh, the White Sox? How about the Orioles?
What?
Exactly. Good.
The Orioles. No one respects the Orioles. Yeah. Come on now. It's just a matter of you make a film exactly what you want, and then you go out and see what's out there. And then you say, I want to do equally good or better than that. And you find out all their little tricks, and you just incorporate those, and you give people a solid story on the other side. And remember, out of 100 people, 10 people are going to love it, and they'll probably know you and relate it to you. 10 people will hate it, and they probably used to date you. And the 80% in the middle don't care. They're going to watch it and go, yeah, that's all right. And then go off and watch, you know, Erotic Survivor and say, hey, that was pretty cool. You know?
Say, hey, boobs. Boobs. Look at them boobies. Now, you've got a running time of 70 minutes. Okay, and you're incorporating the dancing and stuff in there. Now, how long actually was your finished script?
The finished script topped out when it was all said and done between 90 and 120 pages, depending on which version I'm looking at. Because I shoot my own stuff, my spec scripts and my shooting scripts are very close the same. So I put in a lot of details that you wouldn't put into a spec script that often pushes it out more.
So your camera angles, footnotes, things.
Exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, how I want the characters to say it because, you know, I'm imagining this. But at the end of the day, you have to come out with a minimum 70-page script, minimum. Aim for 90, go for 120, and then scale it back. Because no matter how good a writer you are, you're going to be putting some BS in there that people are going to say, you don't really need to say this. It's already been said. Come on now. Make it tighter. Make the film tighter, and it'll be better.
Hold on. I just dropped my fucking earpiece here.
Hello? We could say anything we want about Jeff right now.
Hello?
You know, Mike, I would have a question. I'd love to be on this, on a round table with these guys, with all you guys, on the idea of file sharing and whether that's hurting or helping the independent filmmaker. Not the industry, not Hollywood, but the independent filmmaker. Is file sharing helping them by saying, you know, BitTorrents, that kind of thing, peer-to-peer, LimeWire, is it helping them or hurting them? Because suddenly your product that you slaved over is in everyone's hands, but you haven't made a dime.
You want to talk about that now?
No. If you got that.
I was like, okay, because we can. I mean,
but
whatever,
no. We'll put that in our questions thread because that's
Andy
a really good question.
No, he's only on for one show. That's it.
We saw what happened to Wesley Snipes when he went on talk shows. We are not letting this guy on.
I think that's a good idea.
I think we can
come back, for that.
Yeah, definitely. You're more than welcome to come on whenever you like. You know, we do not discriminate here, and I think people are going to see that about a month from now when we have a real fucking barn.
We don't discriminate. We're so desperate, we'd take anybody.
Oh, you're going to have a real good show. I'm going to plug this one. I'm going to start now.
Okay.
I think
about time that we close this one.
Can I ask Keto a question?
Yeah. Okay.
No?
Yes.
Okay. Is that cool?
It better not be like...
Don't worry.
It better not be
an embarrassing
one. It
won't be a bad thing.
All right.
It won't be at all.
Do you Keto. Like candy?
Keto. We have access
so
to your...
So, you made Sideways. What kind of film, what kind of wine do you like with Sideways?
Keto, do we have access to your movie or your script to see it?
Michael has a copy
online?
Of my script. It's not online.
Online?
The film itself
Where's it playing? Can we see where it's playing? Do we have a chance to see it?
If it actually gets screened at a festival, I'm happy to let people know. I don't want to send it out on the internet or on DVD because I filmed it.
I heard of that. Yeah, I heard you. Sure.
And I feel you lose a lot from watching films on a TV.
Okay.
Or anything like that. But I will keep you guys posted on it and
great.
To see what happens. And hey, if it means you guys all come over to my place and we throw up a big screen and, you know, break out some real beer.
Just good. Trash your house.
I'd love to see it, Keto, dude. I'd love
to
see it.
I'm
going to
get on a plane right now. I'll see you in 3 days.
I would love to see it, man. Good luck to you.
Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. definitely keep us posted on this. And, you know, if you're on the show, you know, keep us abreast of what's going on. Or if not, you know, send one of us an email and we can definitely plug it on the show here for you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Can I ask one more question?
No, we're going to close.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to anyway.
Like puppy dogs.
Keto?
Yeah.
Keto? Do you drink Yagi?
No. Actually, I'm having a beer-free year, and I'm trying to move off anything similar to beer, so I'm doing a lot of wine and spirits this year.
It's all right. Yeah, it tastes like
but
shit.
Do you ever drink Yagi?
No.
Never?
Nah, not that I've
got a picture of a deer on the bottle, bro.
Okay, guys. I'm closed.
I'm looking at it right now, guys. Thanks. Okay,
it's
sorry,
winking
man.
At you.
Keto, good luck to you in your movie. It sounds great.
Thank you very much.
All right, everybody.
See you guys.
We're wrap it
Thank
up
you.
Here. This episode of Simply Scripts Radio or Radio Simply, I don't know, whatever the hell you want to call it. I think I'm going to put up a poll on the message board and, you know, let people figure out what we should call this. I kind of like Radio
Simply.
I bet
you get lots of responses.
Yeah, we'll get like two, you know, which is twice as many emails as we get because we have many wonderful fans.
I fucking responded a few times to your first four.
Yeah, well, okay, that's great. In the board, but I'm talking about emails.
Oh,
this is a separate issue. You know, you're just learning how to send emails, so take it easy.
I'm sorry.
So I'll probably get a poll up in the next few days. You know, we'll figure out Simply Scripts Radio, Radio Simply. I like Radio Simply. It's a little more streamlined, and it matches our email address, which is radiosimply@gmail.com. Send us emails. I know you won't because you're probably not even listening as far as this fucking cocksucker. But our guest today is Keto Washington. You know, he's got a film, Swingin'. He's going to be making the festival rounds, and we will keep you abreast as to its progress. Next time, you know, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later. Adios.
Adios. Bye. Bye-bye.